This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. Let's all face the facts. Dental braces have never been glamorous. They are, however, often necessary, and unlike 20 years ago, we have many more options today. Explaining some of these options as well as why dental braces matter is Dr. Hao Kim Chuan. He's a consultant orthodontist and implantologist, as well as the past president of the Malaysian Dental Association. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hao. How are you today?
Hi, very good.
Dr. Hao, what exactly does an orthodontist and implantologist really do?
Well, an orthodontist is a specialist who align the teeth and make them and create a beautiful smile for the patient. Mm-hmm. An implantologist is someone who restore the missing teeth. So if the orthodontist will complement with the implantologist, that means you're replacing missing teeth as well as aligning the teeth. So you fulfill both the functional as well as the aesthetic aspect for the patient.
And you've done both of it?
Yes.
Okay. Right. And first, when does one need orthodontic help?
I think that everybody needs it if you will look at it this way, because nobody actually born with a perfect alignment of teeth. So if we look into it in a very critical way, we will see like more than 90% of the population will require orthodontics. Now another question is that it is actually is the actual needs or the perceived needs. The actual needs is that if the teeth are really crooked all over the place and it's a functional problem, then there's an actual need of it. A perceived need is that they may not have an actual functional disturbance, but then they feel that they could have been better, mm-hmm. and that is a perceived. So I think based on that, everyone would need that.
Is it my imagination or is it just the current generation that seems to be needing orthodontic help?
Well, I think that currently people are focusing more on so-called personal wellness as well as personal grooming. So, and on that basis, a smile is a very important aspect of personal grooming. So I think that it's not an imagination, it's a global trend.
But it's much more than vanity, isn't it? From your perspective, I'm sure it's much more than vanity.
Certainly. I actually do not think that it's a vanity, because the benefit that can derive from orthodontic treatment, it is more than just a vanity. So I will actually divide into three categories. The first category we can say it is a so-called physical improvement. Yeah, there's a smile and a teeth straightening. The second is actually a psychological well-being, mm-hmm. because having a straight teeth and a perfect smile does boost a lot of self-esteem and self-confidence of a person. And thirdly is that I would say that it's actually the oral health in relation to the general health of the body, because if you have a straight teeth, it does have a strong correlation to our physical health.
Okay, and having straight teeth, how does it affect your overall health?
Well, the WHO recently, in collaboration with the FDI, which is a World Dental Organization, has put out a so-called a joint statement that we advocate that oral health is an integral part of the total physical health.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, because from the health of your mouth, you can actually tell the overall health of your body, isn't
and,
it?
Yeah, and mouth is actually the first entry point of the body. So therefore, there's a lot of oral manifestations that is mirror in our physical body. And we also find that a lot of diseases is very closely linked to the oral diseases also.
Do we underestimate the importance of dental hygiene?
I think certainly.
I think we do.
Yes, we do.
How important is it?
Well, I would say that there's a saying in Chinese is that, right, all diseases come from the mouth, right? So therefore, right, it's actually relating to what we eat, and actually what actually comes up from it. So it's an entry portal to the body, and therefore it is very important. It's just like an entry point, an immigration point where we check and control all the entrance of the foreign bodies coming into our bodies.
Let's just look at some examples, right? Mm-hmm. The link that your teeth might have with your headaches, for an example.
Yes, okay.
What is the link?
Well, if we look into the anatomy, the nerve of the dental facial area is supplied by a nerve called trigeminal nerve, and it's a cranial nerve that comes from the brain. So if you have acute toothache, it does refer the pain all the way back to the brain, and that's why it causes a headache.
Right, okay. Yeah. And your teeth actually is crucial to the shape of your face.
Yes, indeed. Because if we look into our facial height, now, in orthodontic, we have this term called lower anterior facial height, and that is supposed to occupy 55% of the proportion of the total facial height. So which means that if your teeth is not right, 55% of the area shown will be exhibited in it, which is why we often notice that the movie stars, the beauty pageant, mm-hmm. they all come with beautiful smile and nice set of teeth. And I have not come across one with a terrible teeth and won any of such major contests.
Because it affects your symmetry of the face.
Yes.
And everything else, isn't
That's
it?
That's right.
Is the practice of orthodontics limited to just your teeth, or does it also involve other parts of the face and so on? Because you've also got something called maxillofacial surgery and things like that. Is that overlapping on the work that you do?
Mm-hmm. Okay, now the Americans, they like to call the orthodontist as a new name called dental facial orthopedics. Mm-hmm. So therefore, orthodontist is a password that we use. So by the Greek name, ortho means straighten,
right.
Don means teeth. So teeth means it's the person who straightened it. Now, nowadays we use a term called dental facial orthopedics, which means that we are not just correcting the teeth, but also the face and also the bone structure, which is orthopedics.
Okay.
So therefore, orthodontics will surely involve both skeletal, dental and soft tissue. So I think the area is certainly much wide-ranging compared to just simply straightening the teeth.
So I'm assuming you're talking about procedures like jaw reconstructions and things like that.
Yes, we are not just talking about that. We're also talking about how we prevent it and how we able to identify and single out what is the etiological cause of the problem, whether it's coming primarily from the jaw, mm-hmm. which is skeletal, or primarily coming from the dental origin, or is it the soft tissue that actually caused the problem.
And what stages at one's life would you start looking at all of this?
We start as early as maybe childbirth. Yeah, so therefore, if they were to born with, let's say, cleft lips and palates, mm-hmm. that's the time that we look at them, okay? And that is also during the childbirth, when they have very small jaw and all this thing, then we will be able to start predicting their growth patterns. But then we may or may not intervene it. However, we will want to see the child as early as they are of a so-called developmental age, and then we will be able to diagnose what is the cause of the problem, and we'll be able to predict when is the appropriate time to do any form of interventions.
So whose responsibility is it, Dr. Howe? Is it the responsibility of the pediatrician to identify these problems and then send the babies or children off to you?
I think it's a teamwork. Yeah, so therefore in the medical health profession, I think there need to be more and more communications and understanding of each other's territory.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, and if there's a greater understanding on the development that's so closely linked to one another, and it will certainly be a great way forward and benefit the patients, that either pediatricians have a certain knowledge on the dental facial development, they will be able to refer the appropriate cases for the orthodontist.
But you did say if they have the you know, understanding of it. So not most, are you saying most of them probably won't?
No, I can't say that. I would just say that probably the world need to come to look closer for that. And probably they also very focused on their area of the general physical mm-hmm. health. And then the significance of the oral health, that is the integral part of the physical health, is a fairly new concept that has been propagated by the FDI, that we hope that this message can be reaching to a greater depth of the public as well as the medical profession.
As parents, how do we pick up these problems or identify that there maybe could be a problem?
Okay, now, for example, the teeth that is not erupting properly. For example, that the jaw is either too big or too small. If it's too big, the upper teeth will be protruding out. If it's too small, then they have no chin. If it's too big, a lower jaw, then they will have what we call underbite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so these are the features.
Some of the things.
That's right.
And during an initial session or appointment with an orthodontist, what happens normally?
Well, what we normally like to do is that we always encourage the patients that they have to take 3 x-rays. Now, 3 x-rays enable us to look at the patient's skull in 3 dimensions. Right, so that will give us a general overview of the dental development, as well as a skeletal development, as well as a symmetry of the face. And we also look into the temporal mandibular joint. And nowadays, right, we also emphasize a lot on clinical photography, because x-ray will show the images that people do not quite understand.
Yep.
But for the general public, a photograph, a good quality photograph, will be more illustrative to them. So we take a set of extraoral and intraoral photograph, and we also take photograph to do our smile analysis.
Right, okay.
Yes.
How safe is it for children to do x-rays of the mouth?
Well, nowadays we use digital x-ray. Digital x-ray usually will only give about 1/10 of the normal dosage of the x-ray. So even if you have taken 3 x-rays, so it will only be 3/10 of a normal x-ray.
Okay.
So therefore, it's very, very safe.
All right. We're discussing orthodontics. We're trying to help Malaysians get their smiles back with Dr. Hao Kim Chuan. When we come back, we'll find out what are the factors that go into deciding the methods of treatment as far as orthodontics is concerned on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome back. In the studio with me, Dr. Hao Kim Chuan, consultant orthodontist, implantologist and aesthetic laser dentistry, and he's a past president of the Malaysian Dental Association. We're discussing everything to do with orthodontics, as he said just now. It's now better known as dental facial orthopedics. Sort of confuses in our minds. Orthopedics always talking about the bone, but then again, when you're talking about the skeleton, I suppose it is the bone as well that you're dealing with, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dr. Hao, what sort of factors go into deciding the methods of treatment for people who come to you with orthodontic problems?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. Now, what we look into, there are 3 major considerations. The first is that it's a complexity of the case, right? So therefore, with that complexity, we will need to think about what sort of appliances, it would be mechanically more advantageous to solve that type of nature of the problem. The second consideration is the budget of the patient. We will try to provide a solution for every patient, whether they are rich or poor. And the third consideration will be the specific social needs of the patient. For example, certain occupation, they are not allowed to have braces on, but they still require to have a restrictive and good smile.
Mm-hmm.
And we will try to give them a solutions for that as well.
Isn't early intervention better?
Certainly so, because if we are talking about dental facial orthopedic, and we need to know the facial growth and development very well.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, when you have an early intervention, it's what we call interceptive orthodontics. And this is a very new branch of orthodontics that we are emphasizing a lot, because we feel that prevention is better than care. And nowadays, a lot of corrective treatments are focused on adults, whereby we have to undo a lot of things that could have been prevented in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So therefore, interceptive is that our concept is that if we could intercept it at an early age, we could prevent many things from happening.
One of the reasons I'm asking you that question is because a lot of children put their names down with government clinics or the government system for dental braces.
Mm.
And many of them are on a wait list, and they only end up sometimes getting those braces fitted in at 16 and 17. Is that really late already? Because to go private, it is very costly, Dr. Hao.
That's right. Unfortunately, the country is in shortage of orthodontists, and so therefore the waiting list unfortunately has to be longer than what we really wanted to. Really, a child should be seen as early as possible, and therefore the benefit of having it treated early, if the if the etiological cause can be diagnosed very early, can have a lot of beneficial effects. Because let me give you an example. If you have a growth that is still happening in a child, it's just like an aeroplane flying with a wing on the side. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the flight can reach a destination much faster. Now, if you, without the growth, it's like either no wind or the wind can blow against you in the opposite direction.
Right.
And therefore, it would take a lot more effort
okay.
to correct it.
All right. So when you decide to put in dental braces, right, what goes into consideration? What do you take into consideration? Because we do know sometimes some people need to remove teeth. And, you know, the child needs to get used to the traditional wire braces, which is quite uncomfortable for them. So what do you take into account?
Well, we take into account, number one is that from a professional point of view, we take into account of what sort of smile do we want to create for this patient based on their facial form and structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, we spend a lot of time into our smile analysis, into diagnosing what is the problem, whether it's primarily due to the jaw or due to the teeth or due to the soft tissue or the combination of any of this. Right. So therefore, from there, we are able to propose a solution on how to make the smile looks better. So now you notice the use the word smile rather than using the word straight teeth.
Yep.
Because any orthodontist can straighten the teeth. But straighten the teeth, right, does not necessarily mean that you have a good smile.
Right.
Yeah, there is a strong correlation, but it's not absolute. So therefore, what a dental facial orthopedics tends to do is that, right, we are able to create a beautiful smile for every patient that comes to us. And that is beyond just straightening the teeth. Right, so this is the first consideration that we normally do. And the second consideration that we need to do is that, right, what does it take to reach there? Now, this can involve either extraction, non-extraction, or headgear, or the mini screw, or whatever. So therefore, that is like mapping out the route on how do we get there. And of course, the third consideration is that, right, what sort of appliances that we use will be the most advantageous to treat this patient. And lastly, of course, is a cost consideration that we will discuss with the financial plan with the patient on how they should finance the whole treatment.
There's this general perception that the children or, you know, teenagers are the ones who get braces, dental braces put in. But now you see more and more adults walking around with dental braces. Isn't it too late?
No, not at all. You can do braces at any age.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's never too late.
Never too late.
Never.
But it's better when you're younger?
Yeah, certainly it's much better than you're younger. But then we have to bear in mind that in the past, we didn't have such a technology. And our knowledge in orthodontic wasn't as good as what we are today. And then thirdly is that, right, at that point in time there was no emphasis on that, so therefore many people may have wanted to do it but they didn't have the means to do it.
Yeah.
And nowadays they, when they understand that it's so important to them, to their self-esteem, and I think that we should never deny them by telling that you're too old for it.
Yeah. you know Dr. Howe,
yeah,
something I learned, and I'm not sure whether this is true.
Hmm.
Is it true that all our teeth is moving constantly?
Yes, it is true.
What does that mean for me going forward?
Let me give you an analogy on it. We are living on Earth, and Earth is actually part of the solar system. So the Earth is moving all the time, and so as the solar system. So therefore, now the teeth is also a living object that is actually living in the oral cavity. And in the oral cavity, we have a jaw muscle, we have a jaw bone, and then we have an equilibrium of forces that is acting all the time. And so this is just like that the teeth is actually is always subjecting to all the different forces. And the position where they are in right now is the state of what we call equilibrium. So that's why when we have extracted our teeth, you change the environment. Yeah, when we have moved our teeth, we change the environment. So everything that we have done have changed the environment. Or maybe we have done nothing and we think the environment doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
But not to forget that as we age, our muscle tone change. Therefore, the force equilibrium has changed. And our bone texture change. And therefore, it also changes. Therefore, in short, the teeth is moving all the time.
Do we need to take preventive measures to make sure?
If you want, you can. So that's the reason why we ask a patient to wear retainer for life. Yeah, so many people...
This is those who have had dental braces.
Many people thought that this is only the privilege or the disadvantages of those people who put on braces.
Yeah.
But actual facts is not true. Because what most people who wore braces is that need to put on a retainer is because they knew that their teeth were once very straight. So, and they have gone through a lot of efforts into straightening it. So therefore, when they have lost some of it, they feel very much. Whereas those people who never have braces, they didn't actually see much of the difference, although they have moved. So this is a difference. But then, if we know that the world and every teeth, as well as including all of us, are living in a dynamic environment, so the only way not to make it so-called change is to wear retainer forever.
So are you saying I should wear retainers every night?
Yes, I think you should wear a formal night guard, which is also functioning as a retainer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now, I also want to highlight another so-called philosophy to say that, right, even those people who wears a retainer for life, their teeth still change. Yeah. The only difference is that their teeth are changing together. Therefore, they do not notice it change.
Right.
Yeah. As compared to if you do not wear a retainer, they have more individualized movement. And also, that's why it become more noticeable to them.
So if I decide not to wear retainers now, what could possibly happen in older age?
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you decide not to wear a retainer, the teeth would then move individually, subject to all the equilibrium forces. And therefore, they will have some individual manifestation. And therefore, what it manifested to us is that it has moved. It's not as straight as it was. But if you wear a retainer, the retainer is just like a home for the teeth to go back every night. So therefore, when they have a home to go back, they will always go back to the same home. And that's right, it still maintains the arch integrity. But if you have taken the integrity, you have taken the retainer away, it's just like removing the home. So therefore, they just sleep anywhere that they could find.
Okay, all right. And dental braces, I mean, from the traditional wire braces, you have all sorts of braces now, mm-hmm. Dr. Howe. Are the traditional braces still the best?
Well, I think if you look at it this way, all braces, it's just like a vehicle. The vehicle is just helping us to reach our objective and our destination. So whether you wear wire braces or invisible braces, right, they are just one tool that brings you to your objective.
Mm-hmm. Some may take longer.
Some may take longer, some may take shorter. Yeah, certainly.
If there's only one problem I have with dental braces now, Dr. Howe, is the cost. Mm-hmm. It is extremely expensive to get this done, unless, of course, you get it done with government. Do you even see the cost going down, going forward?
I think the cost, as I can see, can only go up. It does not go down. All right, so because...
It's going to be a privilege to have straight teeth.
I will say that a smile is an asset of an individual. So if you look at it, it's not straightening the teeth per se. It's actually giving a patient a smile and a confidence and a health. So if you look at it that way, it is priceless. And nowadays, right, with the technology and with our understanding of how the dental facial orthopedics move, right, we do feel that orthodontics is not as simplistic as just straightening the teeth. And we do feel that what we're offering the patient, it is actually a smile that lasts them for a lifetime. And with that, right, it's an asset to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that having said that, right, it is really something that everybody should invest in. And if you look at the cost of it, right, it is relatively low. It's not as expensive as what most people perceive it to be.
So it really depends where you go then.
Yes, correct. And how you value your smile.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, for some people, it just might stop at dental braces. But for some people, they may even need surgery going forward, right?
Yes, right.
So all of that works in tandem together?
That's right. So that's why we As a dental facial orthopedist, we always want to offer a patient a one-stop service, meaning that we will help them to plan, to coordinate a treatment, and then we can even help them to structure the payment in such a way that is affordable to them. Yeah. So therefore, all these things I think should be coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why we call it an integrated service.
And you are the you were the past president of the Malaysian Dental Association. How has the industry evolved, Dr. Howe?
The industry evolved, we are part of the global committee. So therefore, let's put it from the international aspect, right? Malaysia is a very active member in the World Dental Federation. For example, I'm actually a counselor, a World Dental Counselor. Yeah. So how we evolve is that we are actively promoting dentistry worldwide,
mm-hmm.
and we are actively also create dental hygiene awareness. And in terms of advocacy as well as the policy making, we also actively negotiate with WHO as well as bringing the message from WHO to our Ministry of Health, and that we are playing a part in working together with Ministry of Health.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, right, in terms of promoting the dental public health, I think we play a very important role in it. And in terms of the so-called the well-being of the patient, we are a very active advocate in saying that oral health is part of the total integral health of the body. And then in terms of psychological well-being, we also say that a smile is actually is a curve that straightens everything.
And in terms of orthodontists, we really need a lot more, isn't it?
In terms of orthodontists, I'm very passionate about that because I have changed many people's teeth, and I think that I've changed their life, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them has actually come back to me many years later and still write a thank you note to me to say that, thank you very much because you gave me that smile that I really treasure
right.
very much.
But then we need more of you around. We don't have enough orthodontists in the country.
Yes, we certainly need a lot of orthodontists in this country, and we certainly need a lot of orthodontists worldwide also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your message, Dr. Howe, on to us on orthodontics. Your message?
My message. My message is that I really want people to think out of the box, to think that orthodontics is not just straightening teeth. By straightening the teeth, we do create a beautiful smile for everybody. And I think that the world, if we can make everyone smile, this will be a much better world. And also, besides the benefit of a smile, is your oral health. That is the integral health of the total physical health. So therefore, if we wish for a peaceful world, as an orthodontist, what we contribute is to bring smiles to everybody's face.
Thank you very much for joining me today.
Yeah.
Dr. Howe Kim Chuan, consultant orthodontist, implantologist and aesthetic laser dentistry, and past president of the Malaysian Dental Association on orthodontics, helping Malaysians get their smiles back, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.